Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's Fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena, Penelope Noir. You're having a chuckle about that baby teeth t-shirt.
Yeah, I know. That just cracks me up.
That's very good.
So true.
How was your weekend? Did you have a nice one?
It was good, thanks. Yes.
That's good.
I went to see Ben Woods and Emilia Drosa on Friday.
Awesome.
Such a good show. And Louisa Nicklin, of course. And Emilia Drosa had Tombs as her backing band.
Awesome.
Session musicians.
Oh, yeah. That's very, very pretty cool. Awesome. Yeah, yep. We got some nice texts about that gig this morning. It sounds like there was so much good music happening this weekend.
Yeah.
We're spoilt for choice at the moment.
Yes.
Hey, what are we talking about on Fashion today?
Music as well. We're going to talk about Josephine Baker.
Awesome.
And for listeners who don't know Josephine Baker, she was born on June the 3rd, 1906 in St. Louis, Missouri. And her real name was Frieda Josephine McDonald.
Cool.
She acquired the name from her baker from her second husband, Willie, who she married at 15. Her first husband she married at 13.
Wow.
Yeah, she actually had four husbands in total, and eventually adopted 12 children.
Far out.
Yeah,
goodness.
Nicknamed the Rainbow Tribe, I think it was.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. She joined the Black Vaudeville when she was younger. And ended up going to New York and being part of the Harlem Renaissance, which kind of was the thing that kind of started launching her career. And when we're talking about Josephine Baker, we're talking about a time when America, I was going to say, was very racist. but it was, you know, segregation, yeah. Jim Crow laws. So it was very difficult to be an entertainer and be entertaining to different, you know, to white people and black people.
Yeah, totally.
And a lot of the vaudeville people would have to go and set up at the edge of town to perform, and then people would go to those, to the edge of town to go and see them.
Yeah.
She ended up becoming a chorus girl in Shuffle Along, and she was one of the end woman on the chorus, which meant that there was a comedic kind of element to her.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the other things that I didn't know that just quite shocking to me is that when you were in the chorus, you were white-faced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, and because Josephine Baker was quite dark, American audiences were very, like, even harsher on her. So she ended up going to Paris when she was 19 and joining a troupe there, and then she kind of became very celebrated.
Yeah.
Because there was, you know, it was all integrated. There was no people just accepted each other there. And she was named like the Bronze Venus, the Black Pearl, Creole Goddess. And she, when she was performing, they really encouraged her to perform as nude as possible.
Very 1930s Paris kind of a vibe, isn't it?
Yeah. So she was at the height of Art Deco. Everyone will know her famous banana dance.
I was going to say, that's the one that springs to mind when you talk about Josephine Baker.
Yeah. But she did perform kind of like, basically topless. A lot of diamantes and feathers, like ostrich feathers,
yeah,
and things like
yeah.
that. And so off stage she was very wanting to kind of go against that, and she wore the height of fashion, flapper dresses.
Oh, amazing.
Lots of diamonds, pearls, also feathers, those sorts of things. And she was considered to be a fashion icon then. And she appeared in a lot of fashion magazines in France, and people even wrote to her to ask her fashion tips. And she, a lot of it was to do with her hair, because her hair was slicked down and finger waved, and a lot of people copied that style.
It is amazing. If you look up pictures of Josephine, you can find that that hair that she's got, and it looks like it's been painted on almost. It's so slick and so perfect, the curls that she's put on with the finger waves and stuff. It's pretty incredible.
So and she like defined, you know, slicking down the baby hairs, that sort of thing. And finger waves, I mean, I know finger waves are really, really difficult, because I had to learn them when I was a hairstylist.
Oh, true.
And it's part of the, well, back then it was like one of the like skills you have to pass to get your trade certificate, and it's actually a really difficult kind of thing to do. So the fact that, you know, she kind of like had that sometimes, but other times it did look like someone had coloured her hair in with a vivid. It was like really bizarre.
Yeah.
She also lived in a castle.
Oh, gosh, as you do.
Yeah, had a cheetah called Chiquita. But she was very, you know, she really wanted to play on the elegant and elaborate and exotic. But what is really astounding about Josephine Baker is that she was very strong in the French resistance. So when Germany invaded Poland and the French declared war and all that sort of thing, she couldn't, because she was so well known, she couldn't kind of infiltrate on a sneaky way. She kind of just went to a lot of parties and got secrets that way, like spoke to people and then shared them. And they used to write the secrets in invisible ink on her sheet music, or she would tie notes to her underwear and things like that in the hope that she wouldn't be strip searched because she was a celebrity.
That is so interesting.
Wow. Yeah, and I think she was actually the only woman to ever have a state funeral with a 21-gun salute when she died in 1975.
Crikey, that's incredible.
Yeah, she did go back to America and performed there and became the only black woman that ever was part of the Siegfried Follies. Mm-hmm. But they were so racist and so nasty to her that she actually just kind of left in a bit of a scandal and then came back to, like, went back to France and then kind of never went back because they were so mean.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's incredible, actually.
She was quite interesting as well because a lot of people talk about her as being this early queer icon as well, and having that kind of part of her history as like a pretty probably a queer woman working in this extremely glamorous and very almost voyeur sometimes world of like show business, where on stage she was performing in this kind of like exotic thing, almost playing up these kind of racial stereotypes, but also then off stage really pushing against it in her own life. It was a very interesting thing that she did, and quite political in the way she conducted herself as a performer as well.
Yeah, and there's a really great interview on YouTube. There's a BBC documentary on her that's from like maybe about 10 years ago that's quite good, and she's being interviewed, and she's very, very honest about her, you know, just what you're saying pretty much, which is quite fascinating. And it's so weird how like people used to sound so BBC plum mouth, you know, like, and everyone's like talking like, oh yes,
oh we are, yes. cut glass.
But she just, if you're interested in her, there's a lot of podcasts about her life and things like that, and she is really quite fascinating. And when she did go back to the States, she refused to perform unless she could play to integrated audiences.
That's
which
right.
is
yeah.
pretty cool. And she did go to one place where they let her do that, but at the same time the hotel that she stayed in like was like, you know, pretty fancy, but they only let her go through the servants entrance and things
far
like that
out. You know, it's crazy. Wonder you'd want to just be like, oh, I'm done with this, moving back to Paris where they're gonna kind
with
of
my
look after me
and my cheetah.
She gave up her US citizenship and became French, and you know, like, she's definitely a style icon for people like Rihanna and Beyonce. You can see that they've gone to awards dressed.
That very iconic Rihanna, like, diamante outfit that she wore to, I think, one of the Met Galas, maybe, like,
so
10 years ago, less
beautiful.
Than 10 years ago. Incredible, and very Josephine Baker vibes. Someone's texted in to say her hairdo was the 1920s Marcel Wave.
Oh, wow, there we go.
That's the official name for it. Thank you very much, listener. We're going to play a Josephine Baker track, De Tombs en Tombes.
Yep.
Thank you very much for bringing her in this morning. She is such a fascinating person and a really complicated and interesting life. Lived in, like, many contradictions, which I think is pretty interesting as well. So, yeah, if you've got a bit of time to kill this week, go do some Josephine Baker research, I reckon. Thank you very much, Penelope Noir.
Thanks.
Thank you. vois de temps en temps. Un mot d'amour, c'est incoloreux, mais un baiser, c'est éloquent. Ne me fais pas de longs poèmes, ne parle pas de tes émois. Pour me prouver combien tu m'aimes, de temps en temps, embrasse-moi. Dans tes bras, prends ma vie de quart de main, tu me quittes, tu dois m'indemniser. Il faut bien que je fasse provision de baiser. Quatre jours, c'est bien long, sois prudent chérie. Et surtout rappelle-toi, si tu m'écris, ne me dis pas que tu m'adores, mais pense à moi de temps en temps. Car bien de fois le cœur ignore ce que la main écrit souvent. Ne jure pas d'être fidèle, je veux le croire malgré toi. Mais si les filles là-bas sont belles, de temps en temps, dis pense-moi.
This is Josephine Baker with De Tom Zontong.
This is my kind of music.
Yeah. It is lovely. Thank you very much, Penelope Noir, for bringing us what an icon that she is, Josephine Baker, this morning on Fashion. And thank you as well for all of your messages. I love the BFM listeners are just so knowledgeable about everything, honestly.
De temps en temps, rappelle-toi.
Hope everyone's doing a little shoulder shuffle to this in their cars. I'm definitely doing one in the studio.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.